Greg, I don't know what this thing is. Greg gets a strip show, dance show.
We're there, dude.
Welcome back, guys, on today's show. What the hell is Chicagua? And why did this 100-year-old man break a world record? And the truth behind meat-eating kids and plant-eating kids? And how does your state trick you into buying scratch-off tickets? All this and much, much more will be discussed here on Deacon Live. How are you? How are things? How are things going? Are you doing okay? Are you getting along with everyone? Is everyone playing nice out there in this great big wide world of ours? And God damn it, we're opening up. I'm seeing a lot of stuff. I'm seeing all these reports as far as everyone's treating the world like it's 2019, which is great. We're getting out. We're doing things again, which is great. Airlines are flying. Hotels are being booked. People are working out. People are going to restaurants. People are doing everything. And I say applaud everyone. Thank you very much for getting us through this last couple years. And we did it. We did it for some of us believe. There's other negative Nancys out there that say, you still got to wear a mask. And I guess they don't turn on the TV too much, or they just can't think for themselves as quickly as some of us can on our own. Now, for those of you who know, we broadcast just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, a beautiful little town we like to call Marshville. We sit on about 22 some odd acres. We have chickens, we have horses, goats are around, cattle's around, all that stuff that makes us here on the property. We call it a ranch, part farm, part ranch. We're getting ready to plant some. I know this is riveting stuff. I'm giving a little background story because I've been talking only about my dad and his trials and tribulations of moving up here in North Carolina. But we're putting in our garden this weekend. We should have it all done, so it'll be a great time. Now, as I said, I mentioned a minute ago, my dad has settled in. He's finding his place. He's finding his rhythm as far as what's going on. It's a hurry up and wait game for him. He's waiting for his house to sell, which I think it sells this week. Good for him. And then the next step is to blank, you know, X, Y, and Z, or 1, 2, and 3. And, you know, he gets the check from the sale of his house. He's got some bank accounts already cleared up, so he's good. I think he's good to go. The thing is, he still... still doesn't have a car, which is fine. I don't mind driving him around. He's welcome to, we have a little red 1992 D21, red Nissan truck. He can go out there and drive that around. It's a stick shift, 5 on the floor. Get you through the door is what they say. And, you know, if he's got a doctor's appointment or something like that, or if we're going somewhere in town and he wants to go with us, he's welcome to jump on board. Now, he is looking to now, next step is to buy a vehicle. Well, first of all, he needs to get his driver's license. Buy a vehicle here in North Carolina, and buying a used vehicle, it's going to eat up all his money. You know how used vehicles are right now? And he's like, well, I want like a mid-size truck or something like that. I'm like, even a used one, Dad? He goes, like, yeah, I looked at like a 2004. They want like $13,000 for that thing. I'm like, well, yeah, I know. It's crazy out there. Then the next step after that, he wants a UTV, not an ATV, a UTV, like a side-by-side. We call it a side-by-side. We have a Polaris 55. I'm sorry, a 550 with a dump truck on the back of it. He drives that around, but once he gets his house built, he's going to want something down there by himself. So he's looking at that. And then, like I said, the next step is for him to actually build like a little 900 square foot, 2-bedroom, 1.5-bath. That's the next step. So that's on his plate. He's got to look that up. We can give him ideas of what we can do here on the property, but that's where he's going. The only problem I have right now, the only thing that irks me when I get in the D21 or even the Audi, you know, we're still waiting for our truck to come in that we ordered from Chevy 2 years ago. That saga is still going on. But when he gets in the passenger seat of any vehicle that he gets in, safety belt, it's like foreign to him. He cannot get the tab A goes into, you know, like the airline, please insert the metal tab in and around the buckle. Anyways, he just cannot figure out to get the seatbelt into the buckle. He just can't, no matter what. And I sit there. I literally just sit there and watch him suffer. I watch him and I'm going, you're going to get it one day, kid. You're going to get it. Just like when I was trying to learn how to ride a bike. You ride the bike for 2 feet and you fall over. Ride the bike 2 feet and you fall over. I'm not going to sit there and walk behind you every time you got to ride your bicycle. So I'm sitting there watching him. And then he gets frustrated because he was a man that was very physical at one time, and now he physically can't buckle his seatbelt. I mean, that's what he's gotten boiled down to with age and ailments and hurting, and he just can't. He's trying. I mean, I sit there and watch that buckle fly around that, the tab fly around that buckle. It just won't go in it. And finally he goes, hey, do us a favor. Just buckle it for me. I'm like, all right, clip. That's it. I'm not unbuckling it for you. If you can't get out of the car, you're stuck here. You're going to have to spend the night in the car. So that's the only thing that drives me insane is he just look at it. It's a seatbelt. Seatbelts were mandatory in cars. I think in 1968, they started putting them in there, or mandatory in there. You had to have them. I think 67, they had them in there. It wasn't mandatory, but still. So you've had from 68 all the way up to now to figure out whether you're in your passenger seat or the driver's side or whatever that is to figure out how to work a seatbelt. And I just look at them and I just go, time's ticking. Car's running, losing gas. Every minute I sit here, I'm losing gas. Fine. I'll click it in, click, and then we drive on. And then I look at him, and he hasn't even gotten the seatbelt up and around him. So he's like, the seatbelt's like up around his neck. It's choking him. You know, he just kind of pulls it out and just quickly over to the side. And he doesn't like pull it out, give him some slack, you know, around the front, give it, you know, pull on it a little bit, and then stick it in the thing there. Strapped to it like some kind of S&M show. The shoulder straps all on his face and stuff. I don't know. Anyway, so he gets through that. And I got through today. I had to take Cookie Puss down. As you guys know, we lost one of our bulldogs the first week of January. And so we are, I don't want to say down two, but we have one bulldog. She's 11 years old and went down to the vet. Now, let me explain the vet here. Now, like I said, we live in a very rural town. There's cornfields and chicken houses and mobile homes and just those people. I mean, you know, you drive far enough away from our property, you hear banjos playing. Let's put it that way. And the main vet that we go to, real nice vet, real nice clinic or hospital, whatever it is, it's a huge place. They probably see maybe 200 to 300 dogs a day, or I'm exaggerating, but I mean, probably close to that at any given time. But the people, the area that it's in, holy Jesus. I'm sitting there and it's either you have an appointment, and it's one of those places that you have 2 weeks, not 2 weeks, I'm sorry, 2 months out or 3 months out, but they take in walk-ins and they try to work you in. So I'm sitting in the waiting room waiting to be worked in, and I'm watching these people come in, and holy Christ, these people, they are flip-flops, mud toes, sweatpants. Their whole entire attire is from the 80s, like when they were in high school. So they're, you know, they're probably creeping up around my age, if not older than that. And I've got a big fat bulldog, and she's just in there. And I'm like going, it's okay, you know, it's okay, it's okay. Just don't look the other dogs in the eye. It's my city dog looking at these country dogs in the eye, because they'll tear you up there, girlfriend. They'll tear you up. And I have people come over and go, what's your bulldog's name? And I'm like, my bulldog's name is Cookie Puss. I love bulldogs. I had a bulldog once, and he died at 6 years old because he couldn't breathe. But what can you do? And I'm like going, Jesus Christ, guy, go away. My neighbor threw a beer can down my dog's throat one time. He doesn't like my neighbor anymore. And I'm like, these are the conversations that you have in a veterinary hospital, not a hospital, where, you know, you take your dog, just get shots and checkups and stuff like that. And then I had another lady come in, and she was paying a bill. She had on, oh God, she had no bra on, and probably size, you know what I'm talking about. She had Fs, like size F breasts, and her boobs laid on her tummy, and you could see, like, oh, I'm painting you a horrible image. And if you're listening to this during lunch or dinner time, I apologize. And she had sweatpants on that barely covered her cootie doo. You know what a cootie doo is? Her stomach sticks out further than her cootie doo. And her tits are laying on top of that, and she's missing like 3 teeth right in the middle of her face. And her hair's up in a freaking rat's nest. I think I saw rats actually in her hair. She's got glasses on. One eye's looking at the door. The other eye's looking at the floor. And she comes up and she goes, who's a good little bug? Who's a good little... I know it's hot out there, isn't it? And this is a lady talking to me. I'm like going, yes, it's hot out there. And do you have something to do? Because you... I look at you and I think you should be somewhere else. You don't belong here. So she goes up to the desk. I guess she's making a payment on something. Then, no dog, no animal around her. She goes around to everyone in the waiting room. There must have been 15 dogs in there. Who's a good little boy? Who's a good little boy? She goes on the next one. What's your dog's name?
Timmy.
Oh, Timmy's a good dog. I had a son named Timmy, but he was hit by a train. Okay, I'm gonna leave now. I'm like sitting there, I'm like... This is why my wife didn't want to go, because I had to sit there and fend off these people. Well, that was my day at the vet here in the beautiful town of Marshall. Now, the vet was further down. It's a couple towns over, but still, for the most part, I was anxious to get back home and get back to some sanity here on the property. All right, guys, stick around. We got a lot more to get into and a little bit more. Hopefully, we can adjust your sanity. We're going to get back into our normal, regular schedule show that we do here on Deacon Live. And we got a bunch to talk about. And we'll hear from Is This Going Somewhere with IT Dan. Stick around. You listen to Deacon Live right here on Proper Radio. I'll be right back.
Jesus Christ, Jay.
Howell. We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin.
I'm a grown-ass man.
Jason Howell. Hold on. Can you hear snot snoring in the studio here? Hold on.
I don't know what's going on back there.
Hold on, let me get snots out of the studio. Snots! Snots! Come on! I brought snots with me.
Nice.
I brought snots with me.
407-448-8800.
Hey guys, make sure you like us on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/Prophet Radio.
Please leave a message.
You're listening to
Deacon Live.
Deacon Live.
And someone will return your call as soon as possible.
Thank you.
Deacon Live now presents you Abba God with his latest song, Chosen. For more information, check him out at prophetradio.com.
Universe inside my mind, yeah. Encyclopedia all inside my mind. Blessed with the power of a God. To find, know that I'm a work of an art. Orisha made a wish, wished upon my soul. Chosen one come from the depths of the dark. The angels among the light. Ascend the master ascend to newer heights. There's only truth in the light. Guess why virtue seems to be my birthright.
Welcome back to Deacon Live. Make sure you follow us on all your social networks. And the way to do that is go to Prophet Radio, PROPHET Radio. Click on the social contact section, and that opens up this other page. And you can see all the links that links us to you and you to us as well. If you want to find our Instagram, it's over there. If you want to find our Facebook page, it's over there. Make sure you like and subscribe and share it with all your friends. We'd love to hear from you. And speaking of hearing from you, at the bottom of that homepage there is a little blue bar that says Be Heard. Opens up a microphone on your tablet, on your computer, on your smartphone, wherever you're listening to us at. And you can speak right into that, and it sends us a message right here to our inbox, and we'll play it on the very next podcast. You can ask us any question from any podcast that we've ever done, or if you just want to give a shout out or something like that, we'd love to hear from you. And make sure you put your return address in there, and we'll send you out some free swag as well. Now, someone who is trying to get some free swag is the whole Russian war, the whole Ukraine-Russia stuff. We try not to get too political here on Deacon Live. I know you get bombarded with a lot of stuff on your social media pages, on the news. You're just like going, I just want to watch TikTok. I just want to watch, you know, stuff that has nothing to do with all this stuff. I want to watch Dave Chappelle get tackled up on stage. I want to watch Chris Rock get slapped. I want to see all these different things that I normally don't see on my newsfeed. I want to get away from the politics and stuff of this world. Well, the one thing that I pulled out this week is we've been fighting for many years here in the United States, and I say fighting, arguing about the right to fix stuff. Now, for those of you who don't know, there's a program that's going out there. It's basically like if you've got a smartphone, if you've got a vehicle, if you've got anything that literally voids the warranty, if you do not take it to the actual vendor or the manufacturer of that product, will void the warranty. We're up in air, and Congress was trying to fix that problem, the right to fix stuff. However, it still carries on over there in the Ukraine. You're like, well, how does that happen? How does this affect them over there? Well, over in Russia, or actually over in the Ukraine, there is a John Deere dealership, which is now under Russian control in the city of Melitopol. There you go. Is one such business has been looted through millions and millions of dollars of stolen farm equipment have so far been recorded being stolen from the property. According to a report, the machines were remotely disabled shortly after they were stolen. Through various reports, did not mention the specific way that they disabled them, but what is known to John Deere is a wireless controlled various function of the machinery, quote unquote, where basically if you don't pay on your John Deere, they can shut it down and come pick it up. So they also track, they have tracking systems, onboard tracking systems on those John Deeres, and allegedly made it back all the way as far as the village of Zakhankort in Chechnya, 700 miles away from the actual Ukraine dealership, before the new owners discovered the John Deeres were bricked. In total, 27 pieces of farm machinery were stolen, many of them reported to be now paperweights, because John Deere and the anti-right to repair technology has turned the company into something what of a pariah here in the United States. Well, this has actually helped out John Deere to where they could actually remotely shut these things down, and now they're just like I said, big paperweights sitting out there in the middle of a field. So good out of that. I mean, how many times is that going to ever happen in hopefully not our lifetime again, where you actually have to shut down something or a war breaks out to where you have that? Now, using your GPS, we talked to Dan last week. He was going to Nashville and he would use his GPS, but then he would physically take street view pictures on his phone for each turn. Now, I remember one time, I think MapQuest actually had some kind of intersection picture on there, like in the infant stages of MapQuest. Google right now is upping their game as far as traveling. With now the summer season of traveling has begun, there are many people shuffling to find travel plans. First, on Google's list of new features is a flight price tracker that can alert users of cheaper flights on any dates. I've used this before and it works very well. Previously, the flight price tracker only allowed notifications on specific travel dates. Google says the users will receive an email detecting lower than typical fares in the next 3 to 6 months. So Google's stepping up their travel game. Google has also added features for travelers who wish to drive by nearby locations. This map view on the Explore tool gets you a little pink dot and a bubble titled Explore Nearby? Tapping this option offers suggestions about nearby places a couple hours from your actual destination within driving distance. Users will also find information about hotel prices, weather, etc. in that region. It only takes a couple of taps to open up the Google Maps and then begin navigating your destination. Now, here's something else that they're actually adding to the Google Maps or the Google Travel. Additionally, users can now find the best neighborhoods to stay in based on their interest layers on the map. This lets you filter between favorable areas for dining out if you want to just do shopping or sightseeing. Google says users can tap where to stay under the search filter for more information on things to do nearby. People who love exploring cities on foot will take the inclusion on the new toggle that shows landmarks that are just within 15 to 30 minutes by foot or car. Google says this could be useful for travelers who want to stay in the proximity of the local spot that they're in, which I think is great. I've seen it where we've driven around. We've done road trips from New York all the way to Florida and stuff. And I actually saw like the little Wikipedia, little W on the map, and I'd hit it and it goes, did you know in this area right here? And it gives like these little facts things. I think that would be cool too, to incorporate that on your traveling thing. Almost like a, VH1's pop-up video. As you're traveling and you could zoom in a little closer, if you know something goes by and you know a lake or a river or something like that, and you just want to pop, you know, click on that as you're reading, I think that would be pretty enjoyable as well. Just kind of like, oh, did you know, honey, as you turn to your driver or who's ever you know, who's ever in the passenger seat, did you know that that building right there was once a military base for, you know, blah, 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 during the X amount of time or whatever they got on their map thing? I think that would be a great addition. It helps you learn a little bit more, you know, because learning's always good, right? Yes. Yes, it is. We're learning things every day. Now, something that we're learning right now is that this gentleman right here, he's 100 years old and broke a new world record. Now, he didn't do anything for speed. He didn't do anything for strength. He didn't eat like 57 hot dogs in 4 minutes. What he ended up doing is what he did every day for the last 84 years. And that was showed up to work. Born in a small Brazilian town of Brusque, on April 19th, 1922, Orthomen wanted to get a job when he was 15 years old. to help with his family's finances. Because he spoke German so well, he was hired as a shipping assistant for a textile company called Industry Renault SA, now known as Renault View, on January 17, 1938. Soon afterwards, he was promoted to the position of sales and became sales manager, and that's the position he's held ever since. Now, he has been with the company for now more than 84 years. It was verified on January 6th, hey, that's my birthday, giving him the Guinness World Book of Records for the longest career in the same company, labeling this record as his proudest achievement, outside of him probably getting married or having kids or anything like that. Orthman said that what pushed him towards making this historical event was focusing on the present. I don't plan too much. I don't do too much planning, nor do I care about tomorrow. All I care about is that tomorrow will be another day in which I will wake up, get up, exercise, and go to work. You need to get busy with the present and not the past or the future. Here and now is what counts. And so he has stayed at this textile company for the last 84 years. He actually has an award. He's 100 years old. 100 years old, still working. And I think someone says, you know, if you're not working, you're going to, you know, keep yourself busy. You kind of deteriorate. Well, here he is at 100 years old working for the same company for 84 years. All right, guys. Speaking of 84 years, working for a long time, we'll talk to IT Dan and find out if this is going somewhere here in just one sec. You're listening to Live right here on Proper Radio. I'll be right back.
Wake up! Wake up! Grab rush and put a little makeup. Have the sense to fade away the shake-up. Why'd you leave the kings up on the table? Here you go, create another fable. You wanted to grab a rush and put a little makeup. You wanted to undiscuss the fade away the shake-up. You wanted to. Why'd you leave the kings up on the table? You wanted to. Why don't think you trust
in... You're listening to
That Explains a Lot.
Deacon Live.
Deacon Live.
Deacon Live.
Kratom is a plant that was discovered by a Dutch settler in the early 1800s. Kratom is a close relative of the coffee plant. Kratom can render both mildly stimulating effects and mildly relaxing effects depending on the measure's use. At smaller amounts, the effects tend to be slightly more stimulating, and at larger amounts, the effects tend to be more relaxing. To find yours, go to royalorganics.us. Order yours now. Go to royalorganics.us.
First and foremost, this is my Facebook page. What I choose to post does not require anyone's comments or opinions. If you do not like what is on my page, or what I choose to share, scroll on. I am not asking for your religious or political views. Thank you. I was raised a Christian, and I am proud to be an American. If this causes longtime high school friends to remove me from their friends list, then we were not friends to begin with. I'd never tell a true friend to see things my way or else. Everyone has their own opinions, and everyone makes their own choices. Peace out.
You're listening to
Deacon Live.
Deacon Live.
Deacon Live.
Deacon Live now presents you Jay Wyman, an R&B artist residing in Australia. Check out his latest single, I Lost Your Number. For more information, check him out at poppetradio.com. Welcome back to Deacon Live. Make sure you follow us on all our social networks. And don't forget, for every podcast we do, we have a matching video as well. Go over to YouTube and search for Deacon Live Podcast. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. I'm waving to you. And you can see all the articles and stuff as we talk about them here live on the air. And you can see my monitor and everything. You can see the stories and follow along with us as we do the podcast. Also, this May 28th, I will actually be out at the Union County Ag Center. I am taking the show on the road. Actually, I do several different podcasts. And one of the podcasts that I'm involved with is a podcast called Equine Dynamics with Mike Stein. We sit there and talk about horse problems, horse issues, and we try to create sounder horses from the ground up. So myself and Mike Stein will be out there at the Ag Center over here in Union County in North Carolina. So if you're in the area, May 28th between 9 and 3, you can come out there and visit me. I've got some stickers. I got some magnets. I'll give you some free stuff. Shake some hands and smack some faces, I guess. You want to see what's going on. And right now, let's find out what's going on with Is This Going Somewhere with IT Dan.
Hello, Travis. How are you?
Hello, Dan. How are things?
Oh, pretty good. Got back from our big vacation in Nashville.
And anything happen exciting in Nashville?
The most exciting things we saw were on the travel there and back, just the bizarre things we saw.
Now, what did you see on your bizarre travel to Nashville?
They had a wide load delivering a mobile home on the highway, and they also had a separate wide load delivering an oversized fiberglass pool, so neither one could pass each other, and they were jockeying back and forth, and we're stuck behind these people. And I go, we're still doing 75. No, it was very interesting.
Dan, you need to get out in the world a little bit more. If the most exciting, unusual thing you saw were two big wide loads on the highway.
Well, at the same time.
I forgot. At the same time.
Yeah, I'm boring, right? And then we saw a guy with an overloaded trailer and the axles were bent so bad it was rubbing up against the side of the body.
Oh.
The wheels were out at an angle. So.
Wow.
We went to Nashville and walked around Broadway.
You go to Kid Rock's bar there?
Yeah, we walked by all the bars and checked out, took pictures of all the people and all the buildings and all
the
signs.
No, Kid Rock. Kid Rock's got a bar there. Did you go to his honky tonk something?
Yeah, we did see it. We saw all those places, but we just went into a barbecue place, Jack's Barbecue.
How's Jack doing?
And Jack is okay. So we went there and ate. It was okay. It wasn't great.
But what were you expecting in Nashville? Is it Jack's world famous barbecue, or is it just Jack's hole in the fucking dump wall?
No, it's Jack's world famous. And my nephew went there and ate there and recommended I go there. So I'm going to kick him in the nuts.
How old is your nephew? Dan, how old is your nephew?
He's 42.
You think he's traveled as much as you have, Dan?
He's been to Nashville before I was.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I've been to McDonald's before,
He doesn't travel much. But, I don't go that many places.
Well, here's how you determine good barbecue, Dan. If for whatever reason, because I do barbecue myself. I do pulled pork. I do all that stuff. Yeah. I smoke out on the grill. I'm a grill master. I'm a smoke master. I do all that stuff. If I go to a place and I eat it and I'm like going, there's no way I can replicate this, at home. That's a good barbecue place. Now, if it's a barbecue place where I'm like, I got better stuff at home, then it's a bad barbecue place. Outside of that, Dan, now I know you're not a pit master or anything. Could you replicate what you had at, what's his name, Dirty J's? What's the name of the place?
Jack's Barbecue.
Jack's Barbecue Place. Could you replicate that at home?
Yeah, I probably could.
All right, then that's safe to say that the barbecue place is okay. It's mediocre. Yeah, but if it's okay. it's a place that you go, for whatever reason, their tater fries are completely different than the fries I make at home.
Okay, how long have you been doing the barbecues?
Since I was old enough to buy my own grill.
And how long have you known me?
Since I've moved to New York, North Carolina, so probably 8-9 years.
And how many times have you said, hey, Dan, you want to come up with some barbecue or offered me any?
I actually have, Dan. I used to bring barbecue all the time into work and say, hey, would you like some? I'll make you a plate. Because I've made Ron a plate. I've made Lonnie a plate. I made Ruth. Wasn't that her name?
You bring it in on days that I wasn't working. I don't remember.
What was the one girl's name with the braids?
With the braids?
The color girl, black girl. I don't know what I'm supposed to call them.
Ruby?
Ruby, that's her name. I knew there was an R in there somewhere.
Yeah. No, I have never had any of your barbecue.
Well, then you lost out.
Yes, I've lost out. So, but it was nice walking around. That was, it was just Broadway, the one place we went to. Most of the time I was chilling out at our friend's house, walking around the neighborhood.
Did you get in trouble?
Nice houses.
Did you get in trouble while you were out there, Dan? Did you break any laws or anything?
I just bending a few laws. So it's a very, very exclusive neighborhood golfing community. And it's not like the security gates. But I told her I was going to stop and just take some pictures of houses. And she goes, you have to be careful. They have a neighborhood watch. And if you go taking pictures, they're going to think you're trying to break into their house. I had taken pictures of 8 houses in my car, and I would just pull up, roll the window. The windows were already rolled down, raise the camera up, take a picture and drive off. Because I only took pictures of the houses that I thought were special. Within 2 minutes, it was a police car and it followed me. And I went around a few roads and drove out of the community, just looking going 30 miles an hour, make sure I wasn't going too fast, and drove out of the community. They followed me all the way out the roads. I went out of the community, and then I went to the gas station across, and they drove away. So they knew they had gotten rid of the scoundrels. So.
Well, Dan, I mean, it's all about, attitude. You probably had a bad attitude.
I don't know how someone, they must be looking out the window saying, geez, do I see anybody?
Well, it's a golf community, so when you see a car constantly going, speeding up and slowing down and stopping and taking pictures and speeding up. I mean, I would do that. I'd be suspicious anyways of people doing that.
Maybe because I wasn't driving a Bentley might be part of it too.
But would a Bentley matter? Like if you still sped up and slowed down and took pictures, sped up and slowed down. Now they can't be mad because there's no gate at the, it's not a secure gated community. So why would they get mad? Can you imagine the phone call, Dan? Hey, there's a suspicious car driving around our neighborhood, taking pictures of the houses. Yeah. If I was on the other end of conversation with a police officer, I'd be like going, so is he doing anything wrong? No, but he's suspicious. The mayor must live in that town or in that development or something.
They have all different people servicing, gardeners, dog washers, car washes. I don't think anybody in the neighborhood does anything themselves. They all have somebody come in. But it's not my lifestyle. It's not. I'd rather be out in Marshville.
But then why were you driving around looking at those houses then?
Because I was there, and I didn't want to just sit in her house all day long.
Oh, so you went out and look at someone else's house.
Yeah, we looked around, and the craftsmanship and the 10-foot-tall ceilings, the beautiful crown work. It's nicely built houses. So
ivory toilet bowls with granite countertops. Dad, I thought you said you didn't get out of the car.
Yeah. No, that was our friend's house that we went to.
Oh.
And actually, I took a picture of my robe parked in the driveway, and I go, damn, that makes my car look about twice as nice as it usually does.
It's all about who you hang out with, Dan.
Yeah, we have to. But then to be honest, it's not my world. I can't live in these $800,000 neighborhoods.
Why?
It's not me.
Why?
It's not me.
What do you mean it's not you?
No.
At what point is it you? I mean, where is your threshold as far as it being you? $400,000 home? No. $200,000 home? Well, let's not go that low.
Yeah. I'm good at my house where I am.
Is it the house price or the square footage of the house?
I think that's the square footage in the neighborhoods where they're all, every blade of grass is in place, and you pretty much can't do anything in your own yard, pretty much, because someone's already come and clipped all your hedges.
Well, you don't need to do anything in your yard, Dan. When you have the money to do it, you don't need to do anything. You can go off and do other stuff, like play golf.
Yes, and I don't play golf. But if you were, all of a sudden, your stock in Bitcoin went up like crazy, and all of a sudden, you didn't have to feed the horses, you didn't have to mow. Let's say you've got somebody that wanted to come and mow your lawn for you, so you don't have to do it.
Right.
You know, like your dad.
Right.
Would you be comfortable just sitting around and not doing all those chores?
No. Now I've got money. I'm going places. I'm going to go see something. I'm going to go do something.
I went there and saw something.
Yeah, and you got the police called on you.
Yeah. And then we're driving back. We decided to go along the Blue Ridge Parkway. We're driving along there. It was pretty. But when you've lived in Vermont and you see what it's like here, it's just like, this is an inferior product. There wasn't anything we really got excited about.
Dan, there's homeless people in San Diego that would appreciate the Blue Ridge Parkway, and you're just mocking it like it's nothing.
Yeah.
My main thing is, when I go to places like that and you're visiting that, in my mind, for some reason, I don't know why my brain does it, it actually sits there and goes, when I leave, this is still going to be here. Like, when I go home to the studio, you know, on our property, on our French, on our 22-some-odd acres, this thing is whatever I went to go see, like New Orleans, for example. It's still there. It doesn't revolve around me, Dan, believe it or not. It doesn't revolve around. It's still going to be there, which for whatever reason in my mind, I blow my mind out doing that.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, I mean, we're looking at the rivers. They seemed a little, you see the capacity of the river, and there wasn't a lot of water running down it. I just think a little bit about the, you know, water supply drying up, but I didn't dwell on it very long. And
So you always look at the negative, Dan. You're like, my God, I wonder what it costs to clean this place, and the water's going away. My tax dollars.
No. I looked at the water. We were looking at it, and you could see how much water, how the rocks were and how wide it was. And it was trick. It wasn't bone dry empty, but there wasn't a lot of running through it. And I just thought to myself,
because the snow already melted, Dan.
Yeah.
The snow has already melted. It's off of the mountains. That's where these creeks and rivers and streams come from. Off of the mountains.
I know, and I didn't dwell on it.
So why did you even bring it? Damn, why would you even bring it up? I mean, not. Oh my God, the water supply is dwindling. No, the snow is gone. Welcome back, Dan. Welcome back.
Yes, and we had a 12-hour ride back. I had the worst possible sub I've ever had.
Oh God. And we there's no satisfying you, Dan. There is absolutely no satisfying you at all.
No, but we didn't have a lot of time, because it was a long drive, and we just figured we'd go into Firehouse Subs. Kathy likes Italian subs. This was so soupy and watery. I don't know why I didn't just bring it back and give me my money back and leave. But we ate it.
Because you would have had to deal with Kathy. That's why he didn't bring it back. Do I want to deal with Firehouse Subs, or do I want to deal with Kathy? Fuck it.
She didn't like it either.
Did she slam it on the floor like she always does?
No, she didn't slam it on the floor, but she slammed it on the table and said, you can eat my half. You know, I don't think I'd go back to Nashville. I was been there and done that. And
right.
some places I'll go, in like Savannah, and I go, gee, I want to come back again. And if you asked me to go to Savannah, I'd go there again. I loved it.
Yeah, that's one place that we haven't been. We've driven through it, but we've never been there as many times as we passed through it going into Florida and stuff. But now I'm talking the highway Savannah. I'm not talking about the historical Savannah.
You can go down there and spend one night, visit, and come back.
2 days. Not I would do 2 days because I would find a barbecue restaurant and tell them that their barbecue is shitty. And then I'll look at the architect around everything, and hopefully I'll get pulled over by taking pictures of everything. And
that never happened to me in Savannah. I love the architect. Old-fashioned brick. Old used brick. Looks great.
Now, isn't Savannah, wasn't it a plantation? I mean, that was one of the big slave states was Georgia and Savannah, and they still, like, historically celebrate it, Savannah. You know, the history of Savannah. Come look at the architect. And this was brought over from England, and some of the influences are from France and England and European. And then, you know, the culture that we had. But no one really says anything about it.
And our friend who we're visiting lives on Isaac Franklin Drive and off of Plantation Drive. And the whole golf course community is from Isaac Franklin's plantation. He was a slave owner.
Right. And see, and everyone's taking down statues left and right, but no one touches these other things that has, you know, like the Biltmore. I know the Biltmore place had to be was a plantation place. Every year we see the lights are beautiful at the Biltmore. The family came and had breakfast at the Biltmore. You know, and it's all these things, but no one ever says anything about these buildings, those buildings that are historically still standing and what they represented and what happened to them or what was going on during those times. They'll take a statue down left and right. You know why? Because it's easy. It's easy. It takes a little bit of work. A couple of people sign some paperwork. They bring in a forklift. Yeah. They push it over. They drag it off. They stick it in a museum somewhere. But these places, these large areas of land, you know why they don't touch them? Yeah. Because they're paying taxes. That place has to generate so much. Yeah, money. Yeah. Follow the money. And those places, they don't touch them. You know why? Because it's cash cow for them.
I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to agree with you on something.
Okay. And what are you agreeing on?
Yes, and it kills me to agree with you on anything.
Well, I'm glad we could both see both sides of the coin on this one.
$26 to park in a garage for 2 hours.
Where at? In Nashville? Don't get me wrong. That's Nashville. It's almost the same amount of price to pay to go to Disney World to park in their garage. And you're paying to park at a place that there's, I mean, you can't walk there. The only way to get to the place is a car. Outside of, if you got hotels arrangements has like custom little courier vans that run over there and you don't have to pay for that. But still, it's close to $20-something just to park at one of the theme parks in Orlando. So $26 to park in a tourist town, that's expected.
Yeah. But the last time I parked anywhere was like, you know, for like $3 an hour, but it's been a while too.
Yeah, you don't get out much. I mean, you're so impressed with the two double wide loads on the street.
I'm impressed with something I see driving down the highway, but I'm not ready for another vacation for a while. I got to recover from that one.
Why? What was the recovery? You didn't do anything. You almost got arrested.
I drove back. 12-hour drive coming back.
Oh, it's 12 hours, really? Yeah. Why was I thinking it was less than that? I mean, North Carolina to Tennessee is not that far, Dan.
It should be 8 hours. But we went along the parkway where it's twists and turns,
right.
35 miles an hour. And we, you know, you stop and, you know,
puke
and get gas in 15 minutes. You know, I was doing 80 miles an hour most of the way.
Did Kathy drive at all?
No, I did all the driving.
Did she want to drive?
No.
How was the music selection? Did she burn through all the music in the first 30 minutes? I don't like this song. I don't like this song.
No, I had a new selection of 251 songs, and we never quite got through all of it.
Because she would let you listen to it. Turn this off.
No. Yeah, she would do that sometimes, turn off. But it was good to get out.
Well, good. But you should have had a book on tape or something. Yeah. Both of you could have listened and learned something.
Yeah, I don't have a tape player, though.
Well, you know, I'm speaking facetiously. You know, you got an MP3 player and all that, so... Yeah. Some kind of book on MP3.
Yeah, I have a lot of audio books. I did take drugs going down there. I have to confess to that.
Oh, really? What'd you take? Some meth?
Sudafed. Ingredient of meth, isn't it? You can only buy so much Sudafed.
So how to...
It worked good. It kept me from falling asleep.
Well, good.
I just took two of them.
And now you're in rehab.
Then I got home and I couldn't go to sleep. No.
Why wouldn't you take like soda or something like that, or one of those 5-hour energies or something?
Oh, those things, those do a job on me. And then it wears off and I get real tired. And the Sudafed just is not.
Okay.
So I take that and I just only had two coffees. If I have too much caffeine, then I get overtired and worse. So.
You start beating yourself in the head.
Yeah. No, then I fall asleep when I get, or I get real irritable.
So you take it all the time, I guess.
And I'm looking forward to coming over and meeting your dad.
He's not looking forward to you, though. I told him all about you, and he's heard all your shows over Is This Going Somewhere? He's like going, that guy's a dumbass. I'm kidding, Dan. We love you. We love you, and we're glad you're back.
Someone told me I was a smartass, and I said, that's because I'm surrounded by dumbass.
Someone also told you were a stop stick.
Yes, that's the worst thing anyone's ever told me. I still go into therapy for that.
Well, hopefully you'll recover from your Sudafed addiction, too. While you're in there. All right, Dan, anything else before I let you go?
No, that should do it, and just Nashville experiment's over.
Okay, well, welcome back. We missed you, and tell Kathy I said hey.
Okay, take care.
Talk to you later.
All right, fine.
Bye. Stick around, guys. We got more coming up. You're listening to Deacon Live right here on Prog Radio. I'll be right back.
Baby, tan bonita que no pude ignorarte. Y solo un minuto yo quisiera tocarte. Yo solo quiero darte un beso. Hacerte lo que no te han hecho. Cumplirte todos tus deseos. Darte la vuelta al mundo entero. Quisiste tan para enamorarme.
You're listening to Dio Music, born in Colombia, now living in Miami, Florida. This is his latest song called I Only Think About You.
Prophet Radio.
Prophet Radio.
I can't read your language, I can only speak it.
You're live on the air, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, who's this?
This is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick, how are you?
We worked together about 5 years ago before I got fired.
In a male strip club.
Okay, here we go. I knew it was only a matter of time.
You know, it's hard to get fired from a male strip club.
Well, I stopped using the standard tassels. So.
I thought you refused the implants.
407-444-8800. Deacon Live now presents you Naya. Growing up in Tampa, Florida, is now an international songwriter with her sultry voice and evocative lyrics, driving her new current single called The Real You. For more information, check her out at prophetradio.com.
Don't like to go there often, but every once in a while, I stroll down memory lane to remember your smile. And in a dark corner of my fragile mind, I see your eyes soft and kind, staring back. Now you're just a photo, someone that I don't know, a memory on my phone from many years ago. You're just an outline, a hazy recollection here in my cerebellum. You're a disimperfection. The real you couldn't be loyal. The real you couldn't be true. The real you had to go spoil.
Welcome back to Deacon Live. You want something for free? Of course you do. Everyone wants something for free, and the way you do that is go over to Prophet Radio, P-R-O-P-H-E-T Radio. Click on the free swag section, and let me see. Did I move it? Nope, it's right there. Free swag. Click on that. Fill out the little form. We'll send you out some magnets. We'll send you out some stickers. We got some buttons. I ordered some brand new buttons for you. I'm not going to do anything with your email address. I just want to say thank you for listening to us and sharing us and being a part of our show. And that's the way I do it, by giving you guys some free stuff. And don't forget, we'll be out at the Union County here in North Carolina Ag Center on May 28th between 9 and 3. Now, over in Chicago, that's a horrible town right now. What's her name? Lightfoot? God, she's a trip and a half. What she looks like? Jesus. She's a mess. She's got herself into another mess, I guess. They're trying to sell Chicago water, saying that the water is going to be good. And for more on this, if you want to see this video, go over to Prophet Radio. Actually, go over to YouTube, and you can see this video in real time as we're talking about it here on the show. So here we go. Oops, switch cameras there. There we go. So here we go. We're going to talk about this Chicagua or something like that. Here we go.
Serious thing happened today. The city of Chicago came out with a water. That's right, a water. City of Chicago water in a can. And that caught our interest for a number of reasons.
And we obviously are fortunate to live near Lake Michigan, our most precious natural resource. And today I have the pleasure, obviously, to start the run-up show and join Mayor Lightfoot to announce a new branding campaign to promote Chicago's water quality in honor of National Drinking Water Week. And I have the little can that she's going to also introduce. I love the art. Chicago, what a name.
It's horrible.
So without further ado, Mayor, take it away and talk about Chicago.
And what we've done and the investments that we've made to really step up our ability to deliver clean, safe drinking water to Chicagoans and our regional partners.
She looks like Jesus hell, man. I don't even know if she looks like a man or a woman. She looks like this alien figure out there right now. But here
for
she is.
Decades to come.
One is that we've been covering the city of Chicago and its water for 4 years now in a series called Getting Hosed. The main focus of the series is on big, bad, and wrong water bills. But another focus on the series, in lieu of the city coming out with its
easy
own
guy
water in a can, is dangerous water, lead in the water. It's happening in far too many nooks of this city.
Anyway, so that's what they're trying to do. This guy's getting out of control with this article. But anyways, that's what they're trying to do. They're shoveling this water out of Lake Michigan, I guess, and purifying just that water. And they're putting it in cans, and they're distributing it for free for National Water Drinking Day, Chicagoa. I said it's Chicagoa. I think that sounds funnier. But that's what they're doing. Another wrong step in the wrong direction. The only good thing that's coming out of this, really, they only spent like $120,000 on this campaign that they're doing, which they could have spent $120,000. Which is basically, pardon the pun, a drop in the bucket to fix what's going on out there. They used a lot of local artwork on the cans, a lot of local artists, and I'm sure they didn't get paid. Or maybe that was $125,000 that they actually paid, you know, $3,000, $4,000. I don't know how many cans were made, but they're distributed them throughout this past or this coming week at a local event there promoting Drink Safe Water Week or something, whatever guy said at the beginning of this thing. Yeah, there you go. So Chicagoa, or I call it Chicagoa. I think that's funnier. Now, another place that's dealing with a water problem is Lake Mead. Now, for those of you who don't know, Lake Mead is out there in the Las Vegas area. It's one of the only, I think, salt. Is it one of the only salt lakes in the, well, let me get my lies straight here. Let's see. Hold on before I get out of control. Is Lake Mead salt water? I think it is. Water comes out of Lake Mead, Colorado, for instance, is colder and less saltier than the water that already exists in the lake. All right, so it is colder water and denser and warmer. So it's not the, I think it's the other one that's, what's the one in Tahoe? That's the only saltwater lake. Let me find out. The Great Salt Lake, I guess that's what it is. Seven salt lakes around the world. Yeah, the Great Salt Lake. All right, so there you go. So Lake Mead is out there in Las Vegas area, and many years it's part of the Colorado River, and they dam the river, and that's how those states actually get their water supply out there. Now, of course, you can say it's global warming. You can say it's whatever you like as far as the water depleting out there. And we're not getting enough rain, or they're siphoning off and the water's going somewhere else. Well, Lake Mead is actually subsiding. And what's happening with it subsiding is that things are popping up. They're seeing like small little shoulders. There's small little sandbars that are now popping up. Something else that's popping up are dead bodies. Boaters on Lake Mead on Sunday stumbled across a barrel containing human remains that based on the decayed nature of a metal drum, appeared to be several years or several decades in the making. The husband heard a woman scream as they went to look and found the body in a very deteriorated 50-gallon drum. Hollister said, a Las Vegas resident, said he found a man that was mostly bones except for a shirt and a belt. The discovery prompted a search of the area's National Park Service rangers, who assisted in Las Vegas Metro Police Department in recovering the remains. Photo of the site has showed a rusted out barrel that is partially submerged in the mud, roughly a foot from the edge of the current lake level. At one time, this was actually 100 and 150 feet from the shoreline, the original shoreline, and several hundred feet down at the bottom of Lake Mead. Now, some new details have come up because they've actually opened up the thing and kind of did some research as far as what's going on with the person and who this person could be. A person whose remains were found on the corroded barrel in Lake Mead in Nevada over the weekend is thought to have been killed decades and decades ago. The unidentified person in the barrel, who is believed to be a man, was discovered by boaters on Sunday afternoon. Detectives believe the victim was killed sometime in the mid-70s to early 80s based on his clothing and his footwear. The Las Vegas Metro Police Department said the victim's clothes and shoes were sold at Kmart in the mid to late 70s. We believe this is a homicide as a result of gunshot wounds. The identification of the victim's body will be released by the Clark County Coroner's Office when it becomes available. The decades-old barrel is also have originally been about 100 feet under the waterline and several hundred yards from the shoreline. So this place was really, really deep. And now that the lake has kind of subsided because of the water, or whatever you want to call it, the water level has dropped so much in the last 30 to 40 years that this person was located. If the person was dropped in a barrel in the water and it sinks, you're never going to find it. Never, ever going to find it unless the water level drops. And unfortunately, this is what's happened. Now, two things are going to happen. Oh, if you've got tips or anything about this body, call 702-828-3521, or you can email homicidelvmp NYPD.com if you got any information about this. You know, it's a dead body out there, and no one's going to find it. It's sitting when a body decays, I guess that I don't know if the thing was watertight or anything. Don't you just kind of turn like jelly to slime almost? And that was trapped in that barrel, probably oozed out. So there might have been a little residue inside. They found them. So who else or who knows what else they're going to find out there in Las Vegas? You know, Las Vegas, you know, what was it in the late 70s, early 80s? It was a freaking gunslinging town out there. Who knows what you're going to find out there if they drain that thing and find more bodies or guns or anything out there. All right, guys, stick around. When we come back, do you think your third graders qualify for college? Well, this whole third grade class is. And we'll talk about that here in just one sec. Stick around. You'll listen to Deacon Live right here on Prophet Radio. I'll be right back.
I ain't with it, drinking the lean, never sifted. Fixing my pants, she fixed. She one of my rhymes, had to remix. She ringing my phone, tells me to fix it. Seeing my numbers, looking real sick. Hear the invites, hear the ticket. At my show, said it was wicked. Getting the urge, had to go dig it. I am the truth, I am the light. See the charm, one in no fight. I am no dog, I ain't gonna bite. Seeing the pitch,
you're listening to Abo God with his latest song, Truth and the Light. For more information, check him out at prophetradio.com. And don't forget, for all the songs you hear on Deacon Live, you can find them over at prophetradio.com underneath Music Heard On.
I do not like internet radio.
Prophet Radio.
Prophet Radio.
Hey guys, it's the Deacon, and for my back pain and just everyday aches that I have in my body, I always go to royalorganics.us. Royal Organics carries several strains of high-quality kratom powder, capsules, extracts, and candies in their production line. You can buy them from their many vendors on the internet. Go to royalorganics.us. They offer high-quality products at the lowest possible price to help you in a natural way to live life naturally. That's royalorganics.us. Check them out and start feeling better sooner.
Prophet Radio.
Prophet Radio.
I can't even operate a leaf blower. Brower. Yeah. Brower. Here. If you don't eat breakfast, you start drinking, your tongue will not say bull.
God, why can't the English teach their children how to speak?
Call 407-448-8800.
What the hell?
Deacon Live now presents you ADLU, who has been releasing music since 2021 with famous DJs such as Nicky Romero, Pauline Hearn, and Danny Deal. This is the latest song called Like I Do. For more information, check it out at prophetradio.com. Welcome back to Deacon Live. We'd like to hear from you, and the way you do that, if you want to be part of the show, we'd love for you to be part of the show. We'd love to hear from you. You got to do a little work, though. Go over to Prophet Radio, P-R-O-P-H-E-T Radio. Click on the little blue bar at the very bottom of the page. Says Be Heard. Opens up a microphone. Yes, you have to use the microphone on your tablet, on your PC, on your phone. Believe me, I got too much other shit. I ain't got enough technology to sit there and hack your stuff. And what I want to do is I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you, and you can get your voice here on the program at any time. Just click on that, sends it right to our inbox here, and we'll play it on the very next podcast. If you want to ask us questions, say hello from Tijuana, hello from Lake Mead, wherever you want to do, just do that for me, and make sure you give us some kind of return address, and we'll send you out a magnet or sticker for being part of the show. That's how we do it, and we just like to say thank you as well. Now, these people right here, you can go round and round in circles with, is it good to be a vegan? Is it good to eat meat? Whether it's a nutrition thing, or whether it's a popular opinion as far as global warming. You know, we're talking about Lake Mead dropping its shoreline, receding the lake line. What's actually causing all this? You know, plant eaters point the finger at meat eaters. Meat eaters point the finger at plant eaters. And round this vicious cycle goes. But a lot of times, husband and wife, and you're still married, and you still have kids, and everything's kosher. I mean, God knows, there's a lot of shit that goes on out there where families are not together for whatever reason, and they're coexisting with kids or whatnot. But usually the parents, whatever the parents eat, the kids are eating as well, or at least they try to, or vice versa. Whatever the kids are eating, the parents are eating. And they're getting fat. Like, oh, I just want to make you macaroni and cheese. Just to shut the kid up. Junior, sit down. I'm making your macaroni and cheese. And you know Junior can't eat a whole box of macaroni and cheese. But guess what? I can. I can eat almost a whole box of macaroni and cheese. So I'll give Junior a couple spoonfuls. He'll sit there and stick his fingers in it, slap it on his face, throw it on the floor. And then I've got a whole box of macaroni and cheese. And boom, I'm 50 pounds heavier than I should be. Now, kids who live with vegetarian parents and those that live with meat-eating parents have now discovered that there is no difference between their actual fit lifestyle. Amid increasing magnitudes of climate change and health-related concerns, veganism or vegetarianism is on the rise across the globe. A survey conducted in January of 2022 reveals that 10% of American adults right now follow a vegan diet. In Canada, more than 2 million people identify themselves as vegans, whereas one-third of the UK population is also, quote-unquote, willing to shift to a plant-based diet. However, the daunting question that many parents have and as they come across is how do they start their children eating vegetarian diets and whether this is good or totally not good to have a plant-based diet. Increasingly, a team of researchers from the St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto has tried to answer the question in its study. So here's what they found out. From 2008 to 2019, the authors of this study examined data concerning the weight of vitamin D levels in the body's mass index, height, iron content, and cholesterol levels of 8,907 Canadian children between the ages of 6 and 8 years old. These children and their parents participated in what they called Target T-A-R-G, lowercase e, lowercase t, Target Kids, the research network in Canada that aims to bring an advancement to child healthcare strategies through different research projects is what they're trying to do. Based on the dietary information received from the parents, researchers categorized the children as vegetarians and non-vegetarians as compared to their physical growth. While highlighting the importance of their study, lead researchers and pediatrician Dr. Jonathan McGuire says that over the last 20 years, we have seen growing population of plant-based diets and changing food environment with more access to plant-based alternatives. However, we have not seen the research into nutrition outcome that are following a vegetarian diet here in Canada. So what they're saying is they're analyzing the factors such as BMI, weight, etc., and we're taking in consideration of the gross participation studies that the children who follow a vegetarian diet had the same nutritional levels as non-vegetarian eating kids. Hold on, let me say that again. People, meat-eating kids, let's put it that way. However, the study did point out that vegetarian kids are higher twice the risk of remaining underweight as compared to meat eaters consuming the same amount of food at their age. So what they're saying is, I said this is why little Timmy can't hit the ball past first base. He's sitting, he's got enough, he doesn't have enough muscle mass on him. He's sitting there and he's like, I hit the baseball. I can't do it. I don't have enough energy. Meanwhile, the meat-eating kids, they have more mass, more muscle gain on them to where they can perform tasks and stuff. Now, take all that off the board. What are your kids doing at the ages of, let's say, between 6 and 11, 12, 13, those growing years? You know what they're doing? They're sitting there playing Fortnite. They're sitting there playing video games. They're not outside hitting a baseball. They're not outside running track. They're not outside playing hide-and-go-seek, dodgeball, or anything, Red Rover. They're not playing jarts or anything out there in the yard. So maybe if your kid is sitting in front of a computer all day long with a lot of screen time, maybe a vegetarian diet might be good for them. Now, if there was ever an armed robbery and they want to be the hero, they'll be pushed out of the way. Get out of the way. Don't push me. Things are hard. Life is hard. But on the other side, you know, meat eaters, if you're a meat-eating kid and you're sitting in front of the TV playing Fortnite or whatever in your growth years before puberty, you're going to be a big fat buck for the most part. But I mean, so each to his may, lifestyles are changing left and right. Do what's best for your family is the only thing I can say. You know, I'm dealing with diet nutrition with my dad. My dad's got diabetes, not bad diabetes. He takes the pill, but every day he has a Jimmy Dean sausage breakfast thing that he throws in the microwave. At lunchtime, he has a Hot Pocket, and at dinner time, he's having some kind of like Marie Callender's or something like that. I'm like, Dad, you know how much sodium and stuff? And he looks at me and goes, I've lasted this far. my dad will be 76 next month. And I'm like, going, well, you know what, Dad, you're right. I'm not going to argue with you anymore. But for the most part, do what's right for you. Don't go by researchers. Just take that knowledge to yourself and apply it to the way it fits in your lifestyle. All right, guys, stick around. We got one more segment, and we'll let you get back to what you got to do. Stick around. You're listening to Deacon Live right here on Prophet Radio. I'll be right back.
I do not like internet radio.
Prophet Radio.
Prophet Radio.
How's your day going?
It's going good. I didn't watch football for the first time in like 5 years.
That's awesome.
It's not awesome. It sucked. You should give me a raise.
I did.
407-448-8800.
I just realized I had 3 hamburgers. That's insane. That's a lot at 10 o'clock at night.
Did anybody feed the dog?
You're listening to
Deacon Live. Deacon Live now presents to you a 23-year-old music producer from Long Island. This is Deck Attack with his latest song, Devil, featuring Richie Bando. For more information, check him out at ProfitRadio.com. Welcome back to Deacon Live. Make sure you follow us on all your social contacts. And the way you do that is go to Prophet Radio, P-R-O-P-H-E-T Radio. Click on social contacts. You can see all the links that links us to you and you to us as well. We're available on Instagram. We're available on Twitter. We're available on YouTube. We're available on Facebook. We're available on, let me see all the different things here. I'm going to click on it while I'm sitting here looking at you guys. Facebook, YouTube, iHeartRadio. If you want to email me, there's a link there. Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn's, Podcast, Pocket Cast, Twitch, and public radio for podcasting. So there's a whole bunch of different ways. If you can't find us, just search Deacon Live, all one word. I know you're listening to us now, but if you want to search for us, Deacon Live, all one word, on all your social platforms, and you should find us as well. And for doing all that, make sure while you're over at Prophet Radio, click on free swag, and we'll send you out some free magnets, some free stickers, just a way to say thank you. Believe me, I've got enough stuff going on. I'm not going to do anything with your email address or anything like that. Just a little something to say thank you for listening to us and dealing with all the stuff. I appreciate all the hearts and prayers that everything's been sent out to us. My dad's settling in just fine. I catch him on the back porch. We have one of those, you ever seen those bug assaults guns? It's weird. It looks like a Nerf gun, but it shoots salt out because here on the property we have farm animals, and so there's a constant struggle with chicken poop and horse poop and cow poop, and it's just a shitty place to live, I guess, this lack of a better term. But there's a way to process it. You know, you put it over here and you compost it and you turn it and you add stuff to it and you rotate it and then you use that on your property. But part of that is it brings flies in. We have chickens out there, and we put the horse poop out there, and the chickens pick the larva out of the horse poop and so on and so forth. But they actually make what's called a bug assault. Bug assault. And salt using table salt, and you cock it one time, you aim it, and it shoots just a pinch. I mean, literally a pinch of salt at a fly, and it kills it right away. So we have that around the house. So that's my dad's part-time activity as far as him walking around. Like in the kitchen, sometimes you'll get a fly in the kitchen, and he'll go, pew, fly, shoot that fly right off the counter, and then he'll sit on the back porch, and he's got the whole world out there that's against him. And he says the flies are planning an attack against him. Now, we were talking about the meat eaters and plant eaters. Something that's against Texas right now is Texas right now does not have a hot dog. Well, let's put it this way. So when you say hot dog stand, you think like New York, you think Chicago, you think all those places where give me a Chicago dog, give me a New York dog, give me whatever, Atlanta dog, and all that. And each hot dog or each city's got their own friggin' hot dog. I am just a regular, you start throwing pickles and sauerkraut and onion on it, I just get a little, no, I don't want that. I don't want it dragged through the garden is what they say. Well, Texas right now is trying to come up with, actually, let's say not Texas, I don't want to put the whole blame on Texas just in case this fails, a food truck specializing in hot dogs has been getting a lot of press lately. Why do you ask? Because they are reportedly created the first Texas-style hot dog. According to Cowtown Dog's website, every major city in the United States has their very own hot dog, like I explained. Somehow, this unique has not had one in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area. Cowtown says the details of the hot dog step-by-step process of making the original Texas-style hot dog. Now, bear with me. I'm going to give you the list and tell me if you feel that this represents Texas. So you start with a Euro classic brioche bun. Brioche, brioche! And then a layer of olive oil marinated jalapenos and grill them for crunch, all right? You can just get crunchy jalapenos like my wife does in a bag. Add an all-beef premium hickory-smoked hot dog. All right, so it's a smoked hot dog, like a smoked sausage, like a kielbasa, or is this a meat-beef product type hot dog? There's a lot of stuff going on. Then it says, slather on Ray's, R-A-Y-E-S, stone ground yellow mustard, made traditionally. All right, I agree with the yellow mustard. I don't see any ketchup yet, but that's good. Top with Eddie's chili, crossed between a sloppy Joe and regular chili. All right, I see that. And then garnish with a Dublin sweet onions or hot and spicy onion pepper mix. All right, I could see. Does that represent Texas? Hold on, let me switch screens here. So if you're watching this on the YouTube channel, this is what the Little Taste of Texas has. It's chili with jalapenos and onions and peppers. So I guess, is it a Texas thing with chili and a smoked hot dog? Does that, you think that represents Texas altogether? I don't know. So this company called, or this food truck called Cowtown Dogs, is trying to pass legislation. I don't know if they've gotten that far, but they're just looking for your vote as far as they've created a Texas dog. I would think a Texas hot dog, in my opinion, would be, you ready for this? You would have a hot dog with some kind of, would you do a pulled pork on top of that? Or would that be, would that stray across from a hot dog? Maybe bacon? Some kind of, I don't know. You'd have to have some kind of Texas barbecue on there to create the hot dog, make it a hot dog. So anyways, there you go. Now, speaking of there you go, a popular beer has just been recalled. If you're going to drink a beer having that Texas hot dog, they found that it posed a quote-unquote possible health risk. Okay, so that line right there is kind of loaded in itself. All beer poses a possible health risk. On April 30th, LIDLGB volunteer, it's a foreign company. I don't recognize them. That's why I'm saying it. GB voluntarily recalled Starovince Czech Lager 5.0%. The popular beer sold throughout the United Kingdom. Oh, there you go. That's why I don't know what that is. Was pulled from the shelves after it was determined that the Starovince Czech Lager contains sulfur dioxide, which was not declared on the label. So if it was declared on the label, could you still drink sulfur dioxide? Let's find out. Here we go. Another. Can I drink sulfur dioxide? Oh, they're saying sulfur dioxide is a sulfate that is expressly against the rules of a Whole30 diet. So if you're doing a Whole30 diet, guess what? Sulfur dioxide is not part of that. So if you're doing a Whole30 diet, why would you be caring about, you know, drinking beer? You're not should be drinking beer or something like that. Meaning that the beverage poses a risk to those that have sensitivity to the sulfur dioxide or sulfates. The recall includes the Czech Lager 5.0 in the 500 millimeter pack size. The specific beer impacted by the recall has a best before date of October 16th, 2022. So the recall notice and stuff. So if you're over in England or you bring some home, don't drink it unless you don't care about the sulfur dioxide. Now, as you know, the last couple of weeks we've been dealing with a garage sale, whether it be down in Florida or up here in North Carolina. My dad's made probably close to just selling stuff in the house. You know, we probably had $20,000 worth of furniture out there, probably sold everything for more than, all together collectively, $4,000 worth of stuff. Now, of course, a lot of stuff while he was waiting for the estate. Now that the house is sold and everything, and it was under contract, he had a little bit of what I call play money. And my wife and I also, we had a garage sale up here and we sold through a couple of our things out there on the garage sale. Get this shit out of our house. We don't want it anymore. And we made some money too. So I told my dad, I said, Dad, we can go down to the North Carolina Educational Lotto office and buy like books and packs of scratch-off tickets. You have to do it the first Tuesday of every month. That's when the new stuff comes out. So we went down there and we bought, normally a book goes for $300. So if you buy the $5 tickets, take five divided by 300, that's how many tickets you get. You buy the $10 book, 10 divided by, and so on and so forth. Well, I went down there and I had over $600 in my pocket. And I said, all right, give me two books. I want the $10 and I want the $20. And they go, well, we don't have any $10 ones. You want the five and the 20. I said, yeah. They totaled up. It was $800-something. I said, whoa. I thought they were 300 bucks a piece. No, the $20 one comes with 30 tickets. So that's $600 for that. And I'm like, all right. All right, well, let me just get that. I've had this whole conversation, and the North Carolina Educational Lottery office has this big plate glass, like a bank would have, like 4-inch clear glass. You're pressing a button. And like, show me your ticket. And they're like, okay. And they're all nice. They're all friendly out there. My dad heard this whole conversation. I step over to the next window to the left while the lady counts up my money and stuff. My dad goes right behind me. You have any $10 new lotto tickets? Dad, no, they don't. You hear what I said? I just had the... Never mind. You can figure it out. So my dad goes, well, what $10 lottery tickets do you have? And she pulls out one that my dad's been constantly buying. I think it's called like Mega Bucks or Big Bucks. It's like $10. And he's like, I'll get a pack of those. I'm like, Dad, you understand this scratch-off lottery pack that you're buying has been out for almost a month and a half. Have you looked to see if there's all the prizes that have been won? You can do that? Yes, you can do that. You can do that. You can look it up and see what's left in the prize field. That's why you get the new ones. The new ones, that it's a wide open prize field. So, no, I didn't know that. And so I'm like, Dad, do what you want. Do what you want. You're going to do it anyway. So I paid for my $600 stack of $20 tickets, brought it home to my wife. And within one day, she scratched them all off. And then my dad did the same thing. Spent $300, got the $10 tickets from a game that's only been out for a month and a half or whatever that is. And he scratches them all off. My dad wins out of a $300 pack of scratch-off tickets, wins, I think, $110. And I'm like, well, Dad, I mean, you know how to play the game. My wife, the first pack out of the brand new ones, spent $600. We actually won $450, which is not too bad. That's not too bad. I would take that and add another $150 to it and try to roll that over again. That's a good return. Three-quarter return on a $600 outside of not winning the grand prize, of course. But I would take a little bit more money, throw it at that, and roll it into another book of scratch-offs. But that's up to my wife to decide whether I'm allowed to do that or not. This young lady right here took the whole approach in a different way. A 44-year-old Michigan woman was shopping at a convenience store when a ruby red ticket with sparkling red letters caught her eye. The $20 ticket read, $2 million multiplier spectacular, and provides a chance to win up to $2 million. The young lady said, I like the color and the design, so I decided to give it a try. She said, not revealing her identity yet, she decided on May 3rd to do this. That offhand purchase was worth millions. This is what she says, quote, I scratched a lottery ticket and saw that I won $2 million. I had to do a double take because I thought I was reading it wrong. When I finally sunk in that I won, I was very excited. She recently claimed her prize and was given a choice between the one-time payment of about $1.2 million or 30 annual payments equal to the $2 million. I would take the annual payments. I would. Because then you can will it over and all that stuff. Well, each to his own. The lottery official said the woman who chose to remain anonymous picked the $1.2 million lump sum. She plans to use her winnings to pay bills before saving the rest, according to the news release. The ticket was purchased in Kelsey Market in Warren, about 20 miles outside of Detroit. So, here I am buying books and books and books of lottery tickets the day that they come out, and nothing. I get nothing. My dad buys a book of lottery tickets from something that was expired. Not expired, but just the prizes aren't there anymore. He wins nothing. This lady goes, I like the ruby red sparkly one for $20. I'll take it. Bing, $2 million. How does that happen? And, oh, God. It makes you sick. It makes you sick. But then again, you know, here I am driving home from the North Carolina Educational Lottery office in my hand with 30 possibilities of being a millionaire, because I think a payout on mine was $10 million. And here I sit before you talking to you. Maybe next week this will happen. All right, guys, I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us, downloading us, being a part of the show, doing all the stuff that links us to you and you to us as well. We appreciate you guys. I'm going to let you get back to what you got to do. My name is The Deacon, saying goodnight and goodnight.
Wait, wait, wait. the end. The absolute end.
Écoute-moi.